The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
The thing about shame is it's so quiet and it's so subtle and it's difficult for people to expose because people connect shame, say, majority of the time with moral issues, moral failure. And yes, there's truth in that, but shame is so much greater and actually a lot more subtle and quiet than that. Shame is, I'm too strong, I'm too opinionated, I'm too much, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm not pretty enough, people don't want to hear what I have to say, I'm socially awkward, I'm rejected, I smother people. If there is these beliefs, these lies that we believe that really are rooted in shame, we can hear that God gave his only son, we can hear that, you know, we're created with purpose and destiny, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, we know all those things. We don't really believe we're worth it.
Coming up on Sought Out Global Radio, we discuss the topic of shame and why it's such a difficult, hard problem to deal with in the church, and why so many people have a hard time digging themselves out of that hole. Do you deal with shame? Is this a topic that resonates with you? Well, then stay tuned, because that's coming up next, right here on Sought Out Global Radio. And welcome back to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, along with Sought Out Ministry leaders Herb and Bethany Marks. And also joining us via the phone is Krista Pitcairn. To our listening audience today, we want to share with you a little thought about you know, some of what goes on behind the scenes here at Sought Out Global Radio. Before we go on the air, there's a lot of discussion about certain topics and prayer, and things lead into differently to what we actually bring to you, the listening audience. And one of those things today has been something that has been heavy on Krista's heart, which is really, you know, dealing with the topic of shame. And in general, I think we could probably extend that to things that really hold us back from engaging God or even lead us away from him because we feel like we're not worthy. And Krista, why don't you kick us off a little bit on this topic of shame and the things that hold us back from God, and share with us a little bit of what God has put on your heart.
Sure. You know, I'm excited that we're doing this topic because I feel like, you know, as a pastor, you know, I've been pastoring down here in the Los Angeles area for a little bit now, but I've been pastoring for, you know, 12, 13 years. And recently I've just kind of noticed a trend in the church, and I've really begun to even look at it in my own life, and that is, the area of self-talk connected with the idea of shame. And about 2 months ago, the Lord began to ask me to begin to pay attention to when I wake up in the morning, that in-between state of when you're just waking up and before you're fully awake, paying attention to what's really on my heart. What am I thinking about? What's my heart meditating on? And really taking inventory, is that what's on my heart that I'm waking up with? That's kind of the unfiltered of really what I'm meditating on. That's the unfiltered what my heart's set on, what my mind is dwelling on. And I begin to see I had a lot of worry in my life, which surprised me that that's what I was consistently waking up with. There was this inconsistency of trusting God. And here I am, a pastor, I love Jesus, I'm actively pursuing him on a daily basis, and yet there's a disconnect fundamentally in my self-talk and what's on my heart in the area of trusting him, in the area of kind of the thoughts that I was meditating on. And then when I began just to take inventory, I took it one step farther, and take inventory of my self-talk during the day, and when I begin to sit with people and have cups of coffee or meals, and I was hearing what's on their heart, I begin to just take it one step farther and begin to hear these threads of areas of lack of worth, lack of value. And when I really begin to pray into it, the Lord really begin to show me at a fundamental level, there are so many believers, and I'm specifically talking about people that would identify themselves as followers of Jesus, they are living from a place not understanding their full worth or value because of the self-talk, often negative self-talk, that we've either grown up with, had people spoken over us, or through life's events, we've, you know, begin to say things over ourselves that would be critical or destructive or really go at us at a core worth level. And I've been in the last couple of months developing this sermon because I feel like it's just like this talk and really like going back to scripture and like, God, you know, how do we hit this at a core level? And it was interesting because I felt like the Lord and I just in conversation, he's like, the thing about shame is it's so quiet and it's so subtle and it's difficult for people to expose because people connect shame only, or I should say majority of the time, with moral issues, moral failure. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's truth in that, but shame is so much greater and actually a lot more subtle and quiet than that. Shame is, I'm too strong, I'm too opinionated, I'm too much, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm not pretty enough, people don't want to hear what I have to say, I'm socially awkward, I'm rejected, I smother people in relation, whatever that is, this is what I've heard kind of in conversations as of recent, when I've been meeting with people, there is these beliefs, these lies that we believe that really are rooted in shame. Here's kind of where I'm going with bringing this as a show this morning. If we actually take inventory, which we often don't, because it's so familiar, it's so our normal that we're not even aware that we're thinking it. But if we actually, in the quiet of the morning, listen to what we're thinking about, we pay attention to what's really in our hearts, we're going to recognize and see we don't live from a place of truly valuing ourselves. So if you take that and you apply that concept to our walk with Jesus, we can hear that God gave his only son. We can hear that, you know, we're created with purpose and destiny, Jeremiah 29:11. We can hear all the famous verses that we're loved and we're, you know, we have destiny, we were created with purpose, and God knew us even when we were in the womb. And, you know, we know all those things. We don't really believe we're worth it. And there's kind of the crux of where I'm going. We don't fully believe on a worth level that we were worth Jesus dying on the cross for. Because we have made too many mistakes, we're too much this, we're too much that. We're just not worth that level of sacrifice. And until the church really has a shift and a breaking of that mentality, then there's not really a full partnership with the sons and daughters with the full inheritance that Jesus was sacrificed for. Because we don't really believe we're good enough for the full inheritance. Wow. Which ultimately is shame.
So we think we have to get cleaned up ourselves, which really makes it our works, doesn't it?
Right. And, you know, here's the thing, Mark, which is so interesting. You know, there's schools of thought on either side of this. You know, some school of thought is there's people that don't like the phrase, just come as you are, you know, because they're like, no, like, they're uncomfortable with you just coming as you are. But I believe theologically that's accurate. It is come as you are. God's not afraid of your sin. He is saying, hey, come as you are. But the cool thing about Jesus is his hands extended saying, come as you are and let me hold your hand as we face your sin together. And I'm actually going to walk you to a place of freedom. I'm going to walk you to a place of transformation versus I have to have it all together and then I can come to Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus
good.
Is saying, hey, I see your sin. I'm not afraid of it. I'm fully aware of it. But you can come just as you are. I love you too much to leave you in that place. You know, I love you too much to leave you in that place of just where you're at. I actually want the fullness for you, but it requires us to trust him. It requires us to believe we're worth it. We have to believe we're worth redeeming in order to walk out redemption.
Crystal,
right?
what is it about brokenness that makes a person get vulnerable about the things that they carry with them that are shameful in their heart, but when they're broken, they can pour it out like there's no tomorrow?
I think there's a great side of brokenness. You know, they always say with anyone that's in a major life destruction self, like they're spinning out of control, that they have to hit their rock bottom, right? And everyone's rock bottom is different. And I know the rock bottom is viewed as a really negative thing, but I would say it's not a negative thing. I think that when you hit your threshold, when you hit your rock bottom, when you hit your area of brokenness, whatever verbiage you're comfortable with owning, you know, it's the same thing. When you hit that place where you're like, I can't stay where I'm at anymore, something has to change, that's the place I believe that we actually go, Jesus, you have to do it, right? If I could do it on my own, I would have already done it, but I can't. But you can, through me, you can actually take me to a place of healing and restoration. But I think the idea of I have to believe I'm worth it, right, for that process, I feel like to take place fully. I'm not saying that God can't and won't. I've seen God encounter people, and I've seen God transform people, but I've also seen people still identify with a place of less of, how's the way to say it, of still not walking in the fullness. There's been redemption or restoration in their life, but there's still this mentality of, yeah, but I'm still not a great person. I'm still not worth the sacrifice. You know, we hear the phrase again and again, if Jesus only died for you, it was worth it. If we're really honest, majority of Christians hear that. They go, I could believe that for the person on my left and my right, but I don't know if I can believe that for me.
Yeah, I love what you're saying here, but to me, no one says, I'm not worth it. I think maybe a few people do, but we certainly act that way. And that's what I see you, that's what I hear you saying. I think that's an amazing point, that we live our lives every day like we really don't believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, that the price that he paid on the cross was sufficient for us. And I love how some people have asked the question, what percentage of Jesus' sacrifice was not enough for you?
Mm-hmm. Right. Because the reality is, you know, it says in his word that, you know, Jesus goes, who's going to be more grateful for my love, my forgiveness? He uses multiple parables, right? And I'm just certainly paraphrasing and consolidating. But again and again in scripture, he asks the question, who's going to be more grateful for my love, for my redemption, for my forgiveness? And it's always going to be with the answer, the one that has sinned the most, the one that has lost the most, the one that, you know what I mean? Like, it's always the one that's experienced the greatest sin or the greatest failure, whatever, we're going to be the most grateful. But the reality is we're all saved by grace. We all have a sin nature. We've all come short. I think for some of us, we have very clear past sins or decisions that have been like very defining negative things in our lives. And for a lot of people, they go, well, yeah, you know, that's obvious. But what about for a lot of people that fill the seats in church that are really good people that would say, well, I've lived a really good life, but they actually still live in a place of shame. They still live in a place with a lack of revelation of their value and worth for Jesus. But it's quiet. It's silent. Like you said, Mark, they wouldn't be the ones that would be sharing that from a testimony, you know, in the front of the church. They wouldn't necessarily be identifying it. But that's the subtleness. That's the quietness of the spirit of shame. Because it requires you to really take a self-inventory of what you really believe about yourself and what you really believe about Jesus' sacrifice for you. And I bet there's a lot of listeners today that if you really got honest, you would actually think you're not worth the sacrifice. And if that's actually where you land, then I believe God wants to set some people free and actually wants to break the spirit of shame off people's lives and bring in that spirit of adoption, that spirit of love, the Father's heart, which I know Herb wanted to speak to, but I think that's so important in this area because we have a lot of sons and daughters in the kingdom of God that don't believe they were worth the crucifixion of Jesus.
So the enemy holds us captive in our inability to confess. He keeps us there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had mentioned the cycle.
Yeah.
That, you know, shame, that keeps you in that cycle.
So the less I share, the more I
correct.
The more I feel like I have that unfinished business with God, and then it just the circle continues.
Yeah, and the lie that all of us have bought into at some point, it's just the strategy of other people are more important, other people, not me.
There's another side too that I discovered once I was a dad that I had carried for a long time, and that is I was supposed to know better. In other words, I'd get myself into a situation.
That's a good one.
And all of a sudden I fell short. But there was this expectancy in me that said, yeah, but you should have known better. Mm-hmm. And I discovered, being a dad, that I had to be careful because I was transferring that onto my son. That he needed, if he made an error, he should have known better. When actually, no, he shouldn't know better because he hasn't lived that long to discover what was right in some ways, you know. Mm. And yet I would put this pressure on him. Why did you do that? And found that there was shame.
That's so good, Herb.
There was shame that was coming on my own boy. And
undealt with in you.
Undealt with in me. And growing up in an alcoholic home, there was a lot of dysfunction there, including I began to figure out ways to get my dad's approval by stepping into his life, which meant that I was not valuable enough for him to come my way. I could only, the only way I got his acceptance was trying to figure out what brought him pleasure. Mm. And that's where that whole cycle began of shame, that I wasn't valuable enough to have his attention.
You know, what I love about that that thought that I should have known better is that, you know, my wife and I parent in a way where we treat disobedience the types of disobedience in different ways. We have a different standard for rebellion than we do for childhood irresponsibility. And I think it reflects sometimes of where we are with God in terms of, you know, what is just inexperience with God versus pure rebellion against God. And I think shame holds you captive in the same place regardless.
Well, let's paint the contrast of the opposite of shame is, you know, guilt and conviction, where we were talking earlier, Krista, you know, it's calling you out like you're better than this. Step up, you know,
right,
and move
right.
forward and, you know, confess it and let it go and move forward. You're better than this is guilt and conviction. And it's a healthy place. It's a positive
right.
place because you're running to God. You're saying, you're right. I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to put it down and I'm going to go forward.
Yeah.
And shame is the cycle you're talking about, Mark, yep. where it just keeps you there. You're trapped. Everybody else can do it, but I can't. And I'm stuck here and I can't talk about it, but then I'm dealing with it all the time. And like you said, Krista, it's not even, you know, cognitive. It's like so embedded, you know, in our thinking. And to really just say, God, let's switch this up. We want the conviction and the guilt of this so that we can say, God, you're right. We are better than this. Everybody feels this way. I'm not the only one. And let's break this thing off so we can move forward in intimacy across the board.
Huge point.
Yeah.
And not alone.
And
I
just want to speak because I think Bethany brought up a great thing. And I definitely wanted to go there. And that's really understanding the difference between shame versus guilt and conviction.
Yeah, that'd be really helpful, Krista.
Pardon me?
That would really be helpful.
Yeah, because I think that they actually, for a moment, could seem similar, but it's actually the self-talk that deciphers which is what. And that is, when you're being convicted of something, that's like, okay, that behavior didn't match up with who I know I am. I know I'm better than that, right? So you're, like Bethany said, you're very clear that it's a behavior. It's not who you are. The shame is, man, I made a really stupid decision because I'm stupid.
Right. Yeah.
So it goes up to the work level versus conviction is like, that was a really stupid decision. I'm not stupid. I should be making decisions, you know, I can be making decisions that I know better line up with who I know I am. I'm better than that.
Right.
So there, the conviction to me is a really healthy response as a follower of Jesus, because we need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's the it's the barometer of our conscience. It's what determines right from wrong. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. We want that. But when it begins to actually go after us as people, and it actually goes after us on a worth value level, and like Mark has said, I just want to reiterate that, and it puts us in a place where we stay in a place of shame, right? That's what I feel like the Lord's going after.
Right.
You know, that I'm making stupid decisions because I'm stupid. I'm making really bad decisions because I'm a bad person. That's shame talking.
Mm.
And that's what contradicts God's inheritance and God's plans and God's heart for your life. There's the difference. And like Bethany said, for some people, it's so embedded, you're not even realizing the difference between the two. But over a lifetime, can you imagine what a difference, a fruit that you're going to have in your life of those two areas of self-talk?
You know,
what a different end result you're going to get.
Right.
The contrast of that, Krista, to what we know to be truth in the kingdom of God, that all people have value, that all people are called to a great and good purpose with God, that we serve at his good pleasure, and that we couldn't do that if God saw the sin and the stains of our life that is covered by the blood of Christ, that Jesus paid for us. And we know that these are truths intrinsically, but yet we just haven't been able to receive it. There's an aspect of the faith that prays for mercy but never receives it, that prays for grace but never knows how to walk in it. We have to rationalize it. We have to understand it. And I love what Bill Johnson says, that if you want the peace that surpasses all understanding, you have to give up the right to understand.
That's good.
Well said.
That's good. But then the other thing is how easy of a fix is this? If we, to walk it out, if we looked at pornography, if we had a rage with a valuable person in our life, we would repent. We would say, you know, we would apologize. We'd say, this is wrong. We're not going to do it. But when it's the subtlety, why can't we say, you know what, that's a lie. I'm going to focus on this, break free. That is a lie. I am valuable. God, I repent of this. I repent of partnering with this lie. And free me up. And do it regularly. Like if you had done something wrong in the morning, you would do it right away. If you did something in the afternoon, you'd do it right away. You deal with the repentance. But we can do this. We can break out of this pattern of our belief. This lie that is pushing us down into shame, keeping us from being the valuable participants in life that we all were designed to be, by repenting, breaking with the lie, and moving forward, and exchanging shame for guilt and conviction, which is healthy and will free us up towards intimacy with God and others.
Oh, just some great advice there from Bethany Marks on shame and intimacy with God. Shame is a difficult problem. I think it's something that we all deal with at one time or another, and it's something that is really deeply rooted inside of us. And it's hard for us even to bring some of these issues that sit beneath the surface back to God. So we hope you really gained a new understanding around shame and what it is we have to do to personally dig ourselves out of that hole. Remember, the enemy wants to keep you right where you're at. Do not listen to him. Bring every experience that you're dealing with back to God. Many people are experiencing more in God at one of our local home encounters. You know, home encounters are such a wonderful event, and they're a great way to connect with like-minded believers. So with that, we should tell you that this summer we have many home encounters scheduled. On Sunday, June 28th, we'll be in Stanwood. On Saturday, July 11th, you'll find us in Burlington. And on Sunday, July 26th, we'll be in Bellingham. Also, there will be two special outdoor home encounters happening as well. Sunday, August 2nd in Enumclaw. And on Sunday, August 9th, we'll be in Snohomish. We also like to take this opportunity to encourage you to consider giving to Sought Out Global Radio. As you know, Sought Out Global Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and we could not bring these broadcasts to you each and every week without your generous support. And remember that summertime is one of the more leaner times for a radio ministry like Sought Out Global Radio. So once you take your request to God and ask Him if there's something you can do to give and help keep Sought Out Global Radio on the air, to give, you can write us at Sought Out Global Radio, P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. You can also go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com and follow the links to partnership and giving. Our email address is radio@soughtoutglobal.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For Herb and Bethany Marks and Krista Pitcairn, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again next week, right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.